point to yourself and say, don't be moved. And turn with me to John 16. I'm going to share verse 33. And I thought this was going to just be an opening verse. But it seemed like everything I read got turned into a mini message. John 16, verse 33, an Amplified Classic. Jesus speaking to his disciples says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. Now, I've read this verse a number of times. It's the verse that it's a foundational verse for me. But when I read it this evening, I had a pause because the question came up in me, what is perfect peace? Just what is it? Because Jesus said he was telling us things so that in him we would have perfect peace. And so I started looking things up and I found perfect means entire, intact, not lacking in any particular. Perfect implies the soundness and the excellence of every part or element or quality of a thing, frequently as an unattainable or theoretical state. Jesus is saying to us that what he speaks to us will bring us a peace that's whole, entire, intact, not lacking in anything, but excellent in every aspect. He said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. And it caused me to realize that degree of perfectness is not just limited to peace. He also gave us perfect confidence. He said, in the world, you will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration, but be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of the power to harm you. And the word deprived jumped out at me. That means take away the power to harm us and prevent it from ever coming back. That's what that word means when you look it up. He took away the power from circumstances to harm us and prevented them from ever coming back. We have to understand that. Jesus knew. He knew what his purpose was. He knew what was going to happen to him. He knew who he was leaving to carry on his work. And he needed to let us know that he's taking care of everything so that we can just go and do what we're supposed to do and not have any concerns. But we can operate in perfect peace so that our peace would be undisturbed and our confidence will never waver. Would never waver. Because we have perfect peace and perfect confidence. Now, when the Apostle Paul was gone to Ephesus, he was talking to the people, and he told them how he didn't back away from anything because that was for their benefit. He taught them in all sorts of settings and how, you know, he had to go to Jerusalem bound only by the Holy Spirit and obligated and compelled by the convictions of his own spirit, not knowing what would befall him there, except this. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit clearly and emphatically said to him in city after city that imprisonment and suffering await me. Anything about that? Can you imagine you're sent by your supervisor to a place and the only thing he tells you is that tribulations, troubles, distress is waiting for you. Imprisonment is waiting for you. Would you want to go? You probably think, what did I do to deserve this? But then he said something monumental. Verse 24, he said, but none of these things move me. Neither do I esteem my life dear to myself if only I may finish my course with joy. So he was saying, I'm not focusing on the things that are going to happen to me. I'm focusing on finishing the job that I was sent there to do. That's my focus. All this other stuff doesn't mean anything to me. If I have to, whatever I have to go through, I have to go through, because Jesus gave me perfect peace and confidence so I can go on and I don't have to be concerned. Too many of us are concerned about things. Concern will drive you crazy. Yeah, but there are people that are dear to me. I know that. I'm not discounting that. But you don't love them more than God. Brother Hagin said, he would say, Lord, I'm concerned, but it's not my concern. It's your concern. So you tell me what to do about it. That none of these things move me, neither do I esteem my life dear to myself, if only I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have obtained from which was entrusted to me by the Lord Jesus. We've all been given a ministry. Corinthians tells us we were given a ministry of reconciliation. And Jesus commissioned us to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said signs would follow the believers. That's the ministry that he gave us. Before we were formed in our mother's womb, the Bible tells us God knew all about us. That means God knew what we were going to be facing at this stage in our lives. He knew the conditions. He knew what the condition of this world would be. And imagine, God strategically placed people in different eras, in different times, in different decades, different years, so that he could face what was going on in that time. He placed us in this world at this time, in the middle of these times, and he knew they were going to happen before we were formed in our mother's womb, and he placed us there because we can handle it. If we couldn't handle it, he wouldn't have placed us here at this time. He knew there were going to be health crises, moral crises, economic circumstances. And his word to us is, don't be moved by them, because he gave us perfect peace and confidence. And he's already deprived its power to harm us. Remember, he didn't say, I will deprive it. He said, I have deprived it of its power to harm you. I've said this before. When the doctors came to me and told me I had multiple blood clots in both of my lungs, what came out of my mouth was, okay. So I said, okay. And the doctor looked at me, he said, okay. I said, okay. He said, are you not concerned about it? I said, not really. And he said, I have two other patients in here with blood clots. They each have one blood clot. One of them is in intensive care. You have multiple blood clots in both of your lungs. I said, I got it. Now I told them, Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations. But be not dismayed. I've overcome the world. I've taken away its power to harm you and have conquered it for you. I said, so doc, you could say, in this world, you might develop blood clots. I said to him, don't spaz out about it. Jesus already conquered them, and he took away their power to harm me. And he looked at me and he went, wow. Wow. Here I am. That was, I believe that was 2017. Was it 2024? I'm still alive and kicking. Because I believe that Jesus deprived those blood clots of their power to harm me. God deprived Goliath of the power to harm David. Actually, he deprived Goliath of the power to harm any of the Israelites because they were in covenant with him and Goliath was not, but they didn't believe it. They were too busy looking at the circumstance and they got moved by the circumstance. Their faith, their understanding, their belief in God's covenant relationship with them went out the window. Except David. David realized that he had was given perfect peace and confidence, and that God had already deprived Goliath of his power to harm him. And he acted on what he believed. He didn't freak out because it was a giant who had never been defeated challenging him. It didn't matter to him. All that mattered was that he was in covenant. So he wasn't fighting under his own strength. It was God's responsibility to take care of him. He had perfect peace and he had perfect confidence. So he wasn't moved by what he saw. He wasn't moved by what he heard. Saul, the king, wanted to give David his armor. David said, no, I haven't proved that. See, this armor hasn't taken away any power. This armor is designed to protect me if I get hit by the power. But what God did through Christ, he took away the power that Goliath possesses to harm me. So there isn't anything he can do that can harm me. So yeah, I can boldly run out on the field of battle. I can boldly run towards him and not be moved by his threats, but give him threats right back. Perfect peace and confidence will never be moved. See, God knew what we were going to be going through in this age, during this time, and he didn't say get angry. He didn't say protest. He didn't say get upset with people that don't think the way you think. He said be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So what should we be doing during this time? The work of the Lord. What work? Well, that work's going to be different to different people depending on what your assignment is. But whatever your assignment is, that's what we should be busy doing. Forgive me, I got a little excited and went too far in my notes. Okay. That verse, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, is 1 Corinthians 15:58. I want to read it in five or six different translations. This is the Message Bible. With all that's going for us, my dear friends, my dear, dear friends, stand your ground and don't hold back. Throw yourselves into the work of the Master, confident that nothing you do for him is a waste of time or effort. The New Century Version says, so my dear brothers and sisters, stand strong. Do not let anything move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your work in the Lord is never wasted. The Amplified Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always being superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord, knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile. Not like, what was that Next Generation movie? They say resistance is futile. Not if it's your labor in the Lord, because the Bible assures us that your labor in the Lord is not futile or futile. It is never wasted or to no purpose. The New International Version. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You know it. The Contemporary English Version. My dear friends, stand firm and don't be shaken. Always keep busy working for the Lord. You know that everything you do is for him is worthwhile. Now listen to the Bible in basic English. Not that you weren't listening to the other ones. For this cause, my dear brothers, be strong in purpose and unmoved. Be strong in purpose. Know why you're here and occupy that knowledge. Be strong in purpose and unmoved, ever giving yourselves to the work of the Lord, because you are certain, no doubts, you're certain that your work is not without effect in the Lord. God's Word translation, and I like this one because it talks, to me, it's like talking about people that can get in your way. Just, so then, brothers and sisters, don't let anyone move you off the foundation of your faith. Don't let anyone, I don't care who it is, don't let them move you off the foundation of your faith. Always excel in the work you do for the Lord. You know that the hard work you do for the Lord is not pointless. Always excel means we have the ability to do so. The New Living. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and steady, always enthusiastic about the Lord's work, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever in vain. Now, Apostle Paul, I want to go back to, he said, none of these things moves me. So I looked in the Strong's Concordance and Vise Expository Dictionary of Biblical Terms. And I looked up the word move. It means to agitate, disturb, trouble. And metaphorically, it means to stir up with fear or some other emotion. The dictionary says, capable of being moved, lifted, carried, drawn, turned, or conveyed, or in any way made to change place or posture. That means move. That means if God sets you up, as he set us up as his sons, and we allow someone to take that away, they're moving us out of our rightful place. And they can only do it if we allow it, because Jesus took away the power to harm us. He took the power. He deprived them of power to do that. So if they're taking anything from us, they're not really taking it. We're giving it up freely. Because just think about this, folks. Jesus gave us power, says on Luke 10:19, over all the power of the enemy. So how can the enemy make us do anything? If we have power over all the power he has, how can he make us? He can cause some events and circumstances to happen, and we respond inappropriately. What do I mean by that? We respond like we don't have all power. We respond like we don't have perfect peace. We respond like we're not confident that we can handle it. Unmovable, according to the Strong's Online Concordance and Vine's Expository Dictionary, means not to be moved from its place. Unmoved, firmly persistent, not able or intended to be moved. So God is really saying to us, be steadfast. Don't allow yourselves to become agitated, disturbed, or stirred up with fearful emotions. Don't allow anything or anyone to cause you to be carried, turned, or drawn away from God's purpose for you and God's promises to you. And what I call it, the acid test. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, tells us that the devil goes around as a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion, but he's imitating a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And what does he use? He uses a number of methods to distract us in an attempt to deceive us, to put us to the position where we can deceive ourselves, looking at things the way they are and not the way God created them. And they can all be lumped into one category, and that category is called circumstances. If we ask the question, why aren't you doing the things God told you to do? Everybody would have a reason. And it would all be wrapped around some circumstance. Something happened where you intended to do it, but you weren't able to because of whatever. Circumstance is defined as that which attends or relates to or in some way affects a fact or event, an attendant thing or state of things. It's a condition that determines or must be considered in the determining of a course of action. So it's like there are a number of ways to get out of this room. If I wanted to go that way and the door is locked from the inside, I can't get out that door. That's a circumstance. That locked door is saying you can't come this way. Well, that's fine. But if God said to me, go through that door, then I have to go through that door whether there's a lock on it or not. That circumstance is not supposed to stop me because God told me that that's the way I need to go. It's the sum of determining factors beyond willful control. So a circumstance isn't going to show up as something that you have full control over. Circumstance is going to show up as something that you doesn't think you can handle. Has anything ever happened and you said to yourself, I never expected this? Right. If you expected it, the devil wouldn't have sent it. He's going to send what you don't expect because he wants to damage your faith. It's information that should be kept in mind when making a decision. Let's go through that door. Well, now, God, the last time you told me to go through that door, it was locked. So why should I waste my time going up there again? I could go out another door. I mean, after all, it's not going to stop me. You've already put a speed bump in your way by disobedience. But I want you to understand these things about a circumstance. The purpose of a circumstance is to cause you to disobey or disregard what God has commanded or promised. The circumstance wants to damage your faith. How can it do that? It can make you believe that what God said ain't so. So if you believe God can't do this, then you automatically believe that he can't do that either. Why? Because of a circumstance. The circumstance wants to get your mouth to say the wrong things because the circumstance knows that you will have what you say. And I've said this several weeks ago. Why does it always appear that what you're praying against is stronger than your prayers? Now I'll tell you why. It's because when you pray about whatever that circumstance is, you really believe it's happening to you. And what you're saying it with heartfelt, deep, deep conviction, this is what I'm going through. This is what I have. Yeah, I know God said, but. See, we have it in reverse. Our faith has been damaged. We need to repair our faith. And the only way you repair your faith is by doing acts of faith. There are a number of things that qualify as circumstances. You know, the way they're giving alternate lifestyles, constitutional rights, and, you know, those, they want to create a situation where you have to consider that before you move. Well, you don't. You don't. Remember one of the, that be strong in purpose and unmoved. Don't let anyone push you off your foundation of faith. So I believe we spend too much time doing things that don't bring people into the kingdom. We're too concerned. Social issues have become circumstances. And actually, they've become extenuating circumstances. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Because it's like, okay, it's okay not to go over here and witness to these people that want to be saved because this is a sinful act taking place. No. A circumstance, once it hooks you, it changes its characteristics. It gives itself a title. It becomes what's called an extenuating circumstance. It's important to understand this. A circumstance is one thing. But an extenuating circumstance means, well, you should expect that to happen because of whatever. And we will tolerate extenuating circumstances. We shouldn't tolerate any circumstance. Because the circumstance will not make you strong in purpose and unmoved. It makes conditions that make a bad action or mistake seem less serious, sometimes even making it seem reasonable. We have probably one of the world's best legal teams with our corporate attorneys and things. And one member had a routine surgical procedure and they were discharged. Everything went fine. They went home. Family was praying for them, prayed through this procedure. The employer was prayed for them because they're all believers. And the person went home and collapsed into unconsciousness. EMS was called. The family started praying. There were family members in the treatment room. Everyone was praying, everyone was believing, their faith was strong. Then the person stopped breathing altogether. They coded. The medical team there at the hospital did every resuscitative measure they had, and they could not restart the heart, and they pronounced the person dead. In spite of that circumstance, the people in the room didn't flip out because the circumstance had the potential to be extenuating. They continued to pray. They continued to believe. They continued to confess what God said. And then suddenly, after several minutes, a person just started breathing again. They're pronounced dead. But the people in there praying didn't say, oh, well, they're dead. I guess it was their time. No, it was your time to stay faithful. It was your time to stay in faith. It was your time to keep praying until you received the victory. The person started breathing again. They had to go undergo some rehab stuff, but so what? Same God that revived them will take them through the rehab. Was it a circumstance? Yes. Did it qualify as an extenuating circumstance? Yes. It would have been understood if the people started crying, giving up. We know you tried, but God knows best. And some people blame God. Well, it was just, it's time. And others question God. Why, God, why did that happen? No, those folks stayed in perfect peace and confidence. They knew that Jesus deprived the circumstance of the power to harm. They knew it. So they remained steadfast. They didn't allow themselves to become agitated, disturbed, or stirred up with a fearful emotion. They said, okay, they don't have a pulse. Okay, the person's not breathing. Okay, they flatline. None of these things move me. We're going to pray even harder. We're going to have, our faith is going to get even stronger because we have a sure word from our God. We have a sure word brought to us by the Christ. In this world, you will have tribulations. You'll have frustrations. You'll have distresses, but fear not. Don't be dismayed. I've overcome the world. I've taken away its power to harm you, and I've already conquered it for you. So who cares if we have to live it out? It's already been done. So when things happen, our attitude needs to be, none of these things move me. I don't esteem my life dear to myself. My purpose is to finish my course with joy. Finish. There are laws on the books and there are social pressures and there are things going on which are contrary to God's moral standard. We don't use that as an excuse to tolerate things. It doesn't mean that you have to live with these things. The laws that are on the books and the social pressures, they're designed to keep us from preaching the gospel. And in some countries, there are laws that, like in the Bible, are terrorist statements. And people use that as an excuse for not going into all the world and preaching the gospel. There are economic pressures. They're used as excuses for not giving what God says to give. There are health crises that the devil wants us to consider so we won't confess and act like by the stripes of Jesus Christ of Nazareth we were healed. Those are accepted circumstances that have now become what? Extenuating circumstances. But I'm glad, I'm grateful. God knew all these things before I was ever born. Before I was formed in my mother's womb, he knew all those things. And he had Jesus speak words to us to keep us in perfect, undisturbed peace and confidence. In Colossians 1, verse 22 to 24, in the Amplified Bible, says, yet now has Christ the Messiah reconciled you to God in the body of his flesh through death in order to present you holy and faultless, irreproachable in his, the Father's presence. And this he will do provided that you continue to stay with and in the faith in Christ, well grounded and settled and steadfast, not shifting and moving away from the hope which rests on or is inspired by the glad tidings of the gospel, which you've heard and which has been preached, as being designed for and offered without restrictions to everyone, to every person under heaven, and of which gospel Paul became a minister. Even now I rejoice in the midst of my sufferings on your behalf. And in my own person, I'm making up whatever is still lacking and remains to be completed on my part, on our part, of Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourself to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly or unsettled. Why? Because Jesus told us some things so that in him we would have perfect peace and confidence. He told us, in the world you have tribulation and trials and distresses and frustration, but be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you and have conquered it for you, so you can be steadfast. You can be immovable. You can always be abounding in the work you do for the Lord. And there ain't a thing that a circumstance can do to stop you. Oh, yeah, it's going to try and stop you. It's going to make things very uncomfortable in the natural. But you still win. Let me say it this way. You've already won. All you need to do is parade your victory over whatever that thing is and finish what God puts you here to do. Father, we thank you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. Thank you for giving us that word this evening. Thank you, Lord, that we understand what was shared and we know how to put it into operation. Thank you for reminding us that as your children, nothing is allowed to harm us. We just need to stay in our faith, stay in our belief, stay walking in the promises, and stay on the roads that you, where you've placed us, and we'll always walk in the victory that you've provided for us in Christ. Thank you that as situations pop up this week, you'll show us how this word that we heard fits in, and we'll know what to do and how to respond. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before I let you go, just two things we want to say. First of all, in order to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord, you need to have the Lord working in you. Because as the song says, there's something on the inside working on the outside. Oh, what a change in your life. That something on the inside is the person of the Christ. How did he get in there? You invited him. You asked him to come, and he came. Sounds good. How do I do that? I'm going to lead you in a confession. And you're going to invite him in. He's going to come in, and you're going to become born again, because the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So would you say this with me? Father God, I believe that you are God. I believe that Jesus the Christ is your Son. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he was buried in my place. He spent 3 days in hell so I wouldn't have to. And on the third day, I believe that the Bible says that he was raised from the dead. And he's now seated at your right hand. So I ask you, Jesus, come into my heart. Make something new of me. I believe you're everything the scriptures say you are. And I'm turning from my bad ways as an act of repentance. I've turned towards you, and I'm not turning back. Thank you for receiving me. Well, friend, if you made that confession and you believed it according to the Bible, you just got born again. You asked Jesus to come live in you, and he obliged. He came right in. The Bible says, I stand at the door and knock. You opened up the door, he came in. But I know what you're thinking. You need to know, okay, now what? There's that contact information that you see on the screen. That's the now what. Contact us. Or if you're online, Facebook, one of the other things, just send us a message on how to get in touch with you. We have some information we'd like to send to you to explain to you who you've become now in Christ and what the next steps for you are. And if you have any questions about anything, use the same contact information and contact me. Go contact the ministry. We will, you contact us, we will respond. May not always be the same day, but we will respond. That we promise.